This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations.
The people from below will push for real change.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
G'day, you are listening to RTRFM 92.1. This is the Indie Media Show with me, Joni Boyd, and across from me, Ray Grenfell. How's it going, Ray?
Very well, thanks, yeah. Joni. Yeah.
No Brahma today.
No Brahma. He's you know, having a bit of a break with grandma.
Oh, cute.
But, you know, little doggy date with his grandma. So,
is he getting extra snacks?
Probably.
Yeah.
Always, you know, great. Like every grandma.
We are broadcasting from the unceded lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. And we have a pretty packed out show for you today. I'm going to be chatting to anti-fascist activist and writer Tom Tanaki about the recent federal election and how the conspiracist anti-lockdown, anti-mandate movement fared through the UAP and some of the other fringe right parties, how they did during the last election and sort of what's next. And we also had a bit of a bitch about Labor. What else have we got?
We're going to be talking a little bit about the ongoing issue of the occupation of Palestine as May 15th marked 74 years since the Nakba. What's the in Arabic means the catastrophe, the day mourned and remembered in defiance by Palestinians the world over. It's the day in which the Israeli Zionist state declared victory in the occupation of Palestine back in 1948. And there was a rally in Perth on Saturday by the Palestinian community and their allies to mark the day. But also they used the event as a platform to express their anger at Israel's murder earlier this month of esteemed Palestinian journalist Shireen Abdul Al-Kair. So we're going to be speaking to Nick Everett, who's the convener of Friends of Palestine WA, a little later in the show.
Last week, in case you haven't noticed, there was a federal election. And, it was an interesting result. Lots of grassroots swell, a lot of people are talking about. People are talking about a progressive mandate with the result from the Greens and some of the policies of these teal independents. But, there's always the far right vote, always worth keeping an eye on. And over the past 2 years, a big topic in that sort of realm has been COVID and, you know, whether it exists or not. I've gotten myself on a weird train here. So anyway, I talked to Tom Tanaki, who is a anti-fascist writer and organizer. And he's been following the movement of the conspiracist right and the sort of the COVID reactionaries. I don't know, it's hard to sort of put a big name on them. He likes to call them cookers. These people have been cooked by a conspiracy, as he says. And we sort of chatted about how they fared in last week's election. We talked about the movement's history and growth and how it was used by the vulture class of the UAP and Clive Palmer and a bunch of other parties and who sort of bought and sold the movement as they pleased, and how that was sort of easily done by the social media influencers that sort of ran that movement of, genuinely disgruntled folks. And we also had a little bit of a chat about, the grassroots sort of swell that can be seen in this election and the sort of, pessimistic hopes for leftist causes under a federal Labor government and the due cynicism towards them based on the actions of state Labor governments like here in WA and over in Victoria. So I started by asking him, why does he call them cookers?
I did like to call them cookers. I didn't come up with the terminology per se. There are people who've been calling
oddball people or conspiracy people and what have you, crookets for a long time. But certainly I think I seem to have popularised the term by using that term from 2020 onwards. and lots of people seem to regard it as the default word for sort of anti-lockdown type conspiracists in Australia. A person who has been crooked by conspiracy is a crooker. And I have been following them since early 2020. I mean, the first moment I noticed them was when a person called Thanos Kaniides created a very entertaining little would-be viral stunt where everyone was smashing their TVs.
Smashing their tellies. Relatable.
Yeah, it was. It was an amazing moment. It was very fun. I played dress up and pretended to be one of them. Yeah, so early 2020, I definitely found I enjoyed looking into their newfound foundling antics more than I had done their predecessor reactionary conspiracist movements in Australia, being sort of far-right racist ones and the like. It was novel to me. So I started documenting their growing tendency to organise rallies, which they were doing mirroring what was going on with the movement in America and the like. And I found them to be a very complex, multifactional conspiracist movement. And they were really quite in their rhetoric anti-government throughout all of 2020 and 2021.
Yes, very anti-cop as well.
Anti-cop, anti-government, of course, the regular displays of utterly over-the-top violence from the highly militarized VicPol port team were definitely aiding their position as being anti-government and anti-cop, you know. And I don't mean to blame that on them or to describe police violence as being in any way their fault, because it wasn't. It's the fault of everyone. In fact, I would argue who voted for various Andrews governments with sort of, you know, their agendas at each election were all about buffering up the police force. And that's exactly what they went on to do. And, you know, obviously any activist over any cause, and it isn't just them. I mean, you know, it just before the pandemic, it was the people, protesting outside of a mining conference, IMARC in Melbourne, who received like outlandish police violence. You know, a young woman had her legs broken by a police horse.
Bloody hell.
So this was definitely the position, the direction in which VicPol were heading regardless. But, you know, seeing that again and again led a lot of new people to their cause, seeing the way that VicPol were responding to them. And so they demonstrated this ability to swell whenever lockdowns would get too harsh, and they were indeed very harsh in Victoria. So this anti-government, anti-cop, conspiracist movement just swelled, you know, situationally swelled over 2020. 2021. But then as we reached 2021 and the election, the federal election, began to loom as a prospect, well, you know, a certain vulture class began to appear with designs on using the movement to their own ends. And these people would be variously politicians, lobbyists, or billionaires like Clive Palmer. So what you started to notice was that there were moments where the anti-lockdown movement actually started to reach a degree of political efficacy, you know. And I'm thinking of the Kill the Bill rallies late last year in Melbourne. You know, suddenly they were showing this newfound interest in the actual real parliamentary political process. And that was in no small part shaped by some of these vultures in the background who started to have designs over turning the movement in their own ends, you know. But actually it turned out that this was the beginning of the end, or a downward turn for the...
It was a bit of a peak.
Yeah, well, you know, because suddenly we were hearing reports that there were UAP-affiliated figureheads like the YouTuber Ozzy Cossack, who was at that point with UAP. And suddenly we were hearing that he was offering stacks of cash to anti-lockdown people to take the headline speaker spot at some of these freedom rallies. And then we were hearing that swish speaker stacks and whole stages and, you know, massive amounts of generous food supplies were suddenly getting paid for. So suddenly there was money in the freedom movement. And in no small part, that money was coming, of course, from Clive Palmer. And what we noticed was that because the figureheads of this movement, this is very much a figurehead-driven movement, you know.
There's a lot of personalities.
You know, there's a real race to capture, I suppose, a big slice of the pie from anti-lockdown figureheads, because there was, like, you know, grifting fake fundraisers and you know, a potential career in it for them. So we understand why they wanted to be at the top of the pile. But suddenly there was a potential daddy figure with a lot of money there. And what I noticed was how quickly it took this supposed anti-government movement to completely roll over for one of this handful of freedom parties that was starting to appear, particularly UAP. And I thought that was hilarious, that suddenly this movement that had been going on about how all the government had been taken down was just, in a matter of months, had completely turned, by virtue of all the figureheads turning, over into loyalty to one of these various different
things. You do see that effect in a lot of, you know, more left-wing anti-government movements. Like, that does happen, that they sort of get swept up in, you know, big money and astroturfing and things like that. But it happens so quickly with this movement. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's something to do with the disorganisation, the motivations of its thought leaders?
You're right to say that so many movements, left and right, activist movements, are co-opted by, you know, political interests over time. Mm. But what surprised me is that I thought the chaotic and melting pot nature of how the conspiracist movement sort of took all of its ideas, wherever everyone trading these completely disparate, discordant conspiracies, I thought that wouldn't lend so well, so quickly, to being co-opted. But I do, you know, you suggested it was your second suggestion. It is the fact that the figureheads who were so in control of the direction of the movement, you know, it's such a movement over sort of picking your favourite, you know, Svengali type conspiracist figurehead and deciding that they're the person to take this movement in the right direction. And because they started to see the benefit for them in, you know, receiving karma bucks or something, you know, or possibly landing a seat in the federal election, because they started to sense that, they started changing their messaging to express loyalty for this party or that party. But it didn't take harm along to start getting badmouthed by various figureheads, or for people to then start leaving the UAP or training among UAP or expressing loyalty for One Nation instead, or one of these various other smaller, like Australia One or one of these smaller, and there was several of them, you know, sort of fringe freedom-based micro-parties.
How do you sort of estimate the size of this freedom cooker vote? Because some of it went to One Nation, like you say, some of it went to the United Australia Party, and you know, all of these many, many bizarre micro-parties and independent groupings that are out there.
I can tell you exactly, you know, at this stage anyway, I think that we've got about 500,000 or a little bit more votes for the UAP, and we've got about 600,000 votes or a bit more for One Nation. You know, again, that, you know, last election was really run on the fringe on the far right vote was really about candidates like Fraser Anning and the Conservative